And by Safe Credit Union. Let us put you first.
Thanks to T.O.
Now from the 19th hole of Sports 1140 KHTK, here's Jason Ross and Frank LaRosa.
We're back.
It's golf day.
It is golf day. Isn't every day golf day, Frank?
It is in Northern California.
Yeah.
You know, except when it was, I don't know, cats and dogs, all those things.
A couple Sundays ago.
What kind of rain it was, yeah.
But someone was probably still out there braving it somewhere.
I have no doubt. It was interesting talking about rain because somebody asked the other day, he said, we must be ahead of schedule for rain this year. And I noticed on Channel 3 this morning that our average would put us at 1.45 inches right now, and we're at 7.5.
Oh, good. So I didn't know that. I knew we had to be ahead, yeah. But I didn't know we're that far ahead.
If we keep going.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's the thing, because, you know, we know it can start like this, and then, hey, when was the last time it rained? 3 months ago?
Exactly.
That's not what we need.
Yeah.
A little here and there. We've been getting a little here and there lately. Not like the one Sunday where it felt like all of the rain happened at one time.
Yeah, we want it to all happen at night.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. While we sleep, so we can golf the next day.
That's right.
Speaking of that, today we got a fun show. Well, they're always fun. They're always fun to have a full action-packed show. Before we get into kind of our rundown, Frank, have you played? Have you been playing?
I've been playing every week. You know, it's been in kind of a nice little run I've been on lately. But I played Sunday at Mather. And as I've said many times, Mather holds a soft space in my heart because that was the first place I ever played golf. My father was in the military, and we moved there and thought I'd give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
Compliments of Phil Day and Billy Stiegel, the team out there, and Lance Fong. We went out and had a really fun day, played pretty, really well. Somebody had given me a tip the day before. It's interesting, you know, we talk about how we get into habits, and we can just get into good habits and bad habits as well. And you just kind of, you know, forget something here and there. And I had played I think the Friday before, and someone said, you're kind of moving your head around a little bit. And so that was kind of my only swing thought on Sunday, and turned out pretty good.
You know, it's interesting that, you know, what we were talking even about before the show is just sometimes something like that, whether or not you literally changed much else, but it just maybe changed your pre-swing thought. And obviously, as you said, the results after that were good for you.
Yeah, one of these shows we're going to have to get somebody that that knows about the mind and, mm-hmm. and you know, all the exercises we should be going through. But your mind can start telling you things that you don't even know that it's up there or that you're consciously listening to it, and sometimes just kind of clearing the brain a little bit with another thought, you know, it worked really well for me.
And I think what's interesting, when we had Doug here with us as an athlete, he wanted all of that. Like he was computing all of that, like left hip, right foot, whatever he does, if it's different than mine, probably different than yours. It's interesting that he kind of wanted that feedback to figure out how he was mechanically going to get it right, as opposed to, hey, it's just a different thought for me, and now I'm swinging differently.
And it'll be interesting to see as Doug progresses, because again, he's relatively new to the game, mm-hmm. you know, whether he'll have less thoughts in his head as he moves along.
Yeah.
You know, what you really want to do is to be able to trust your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mind is fascinating, and it will, you know, if you say, I want to hit it over there, you know, left of that bunker, and, you know, you convince yourself that's what you're going to do, the mind finds a way to have you make that happen. And so trusting it is really where you're able to just kind of swing as hard as you can.
Yeah.
Like a Bryson.
Right. Well, and I think we've all probably had this, anybody that's golfed any amount of time, where maybe if you get in the right swing thought or the right idea, this is exactly where I want to go with it. And it kind of goes in that general, and maybe it was a bad bounce, or you maybe even misread where you wanted it, but that was what your shot thought was. And you go there, and you're like, I'm not even mad. That's what I was trying to do, and I actually did it.
Yeah.
Even if the result wasn't good.
Yeah. You know, I remember asking Al Geiberger a couple of weeks ago. They said, this may seem like an odd question, but when you shot 59, was it the best round you ever played?
Mm-hmm.
Because the golf course will give you that.
Right.
It'll give you a bounce left where you know you didn't expect it to be. And so you can play a round that's, you know, relatively perfect in your mind and not shoot a very good score,
right,
just because of you know, the rub of the green, as they call it.
Yeah, I mean, that one, literally the score was his best. But, yeah, it was interesting that – I think he ended up saying it still was.
He did,
but
yes.
Yeah. Just, and he really cited more of the mental fatigue of how hot it was that day in Memphis, and just it was a battle more so than a smooth, easy 59, if there's such a thing.
Yeah, you know, there's recreational golf and there's, you know, competitive professional golf, and what we play is recreational golf, and you know, it depends on what you want out of the game.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking to have a good time.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that's good. So you got out there, you got any plans for this week? Are you going to keep this thing regular a couple rounds a week?
Yeah, you know, it seems to have been working out lately, and I just tell my wife it's research. I have to do
work.
It for the show.
It's work.
You know, it's not easy being me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, today we're going to find out a little bit more about some more areas. We like to do some course reviews. Wild Hawk. It's a fun course. It's in our region here. Paul Henderson, GM of Wild Hawk Golf Club, will join us at the end of the show to talk about that layout. I think it's a friendly one. It's, you know, if you miss, you're just in another fairway for the most part.
Yeah, it is. It is a friendly golf course. And I'm trying to, as we were talking, I was trying to remember how long it's been open now. And I'm guessing probably 12, 15 years, something like that. And Paul's been there a number of years now. And they've, you know, kind of... developed a nice little rhythm over there, and it's a fun place to play, and he'll tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming up at 2:30, Ken Morton Jr., he's a regular here on the show, but he's kind of in a really good spot and part of that hot list panel for Golf Digest, trying to find the newest, latest, and reviewing and looking at. He's going to kind of give us an insight on what's next in golf. I know that's something that in your Golf to Go reports, Frank, you share that with us, and it's always changing in golf.
Yeah, you know, as a consumer, as a player, I would look forward to that Golf Digest hot list every year. We all want to be reassured that the decisions we made about the clubs we bought or that the ball we're playing or, you know, any of that is other people think it's the club as well. But that whole process of the panel that they put together, and they get people from all over the country, and you know, Kenny, we'll talk a little bit about that. But the amount of balls that they hit, and you know, how they arrive at their gold and silver medal status, it's you know, the hot list is something I kind of look forward to every year.
Yeah, I'm wondering, as someone who had my clubs previously to the one I have now for probably far too long. And then we got new clubs about a year and a half, 2 years ago. How often are, if you play a decent amount, should people be changing that out?
You know,
because, I mean, they'll tell you all the time, sure. And not just to get your money, but there are improvements being made.
There are improvements every year. But, you know, in some cases you will find that some people, a certain club just kind of fits them. You'll find professionals that are not playing the newest equipment every year because they've, you know, developed a rhythm with what they've got, and mentally they're you know, real confident in it, and so they will play those clubs for a couple of years. Now, I saw a story today about Bryson DeChambeau trying the brand new Cobra driver. It'll be interesting to hear what Ken Morton has to say about it. But it's a prototype, and he was just, you know, ecstatic. He said, I didn't even hit it in the center of the club face, and it still goes straight. And, you know, his feeling is that, you know, as far as he hits it, you know, if he's a degree off with this new club, he's only 20 yards off his target.
Wow,
that kind of you know, that's a little scary when you talk about his distance and now, you know, he's going to hit it straight. He also referred to a friend of his that's a long drive guy that the same thing was happening. Just going to swing out of my shoes, but you know, it's staying on a path near straight.
Yeah, I guess the same thought. I know I think everyone's, hey, I didn't lose a golf ball today. I played the same one all day. I don't know. It feels like a good thing because you weren't errant, but is that a good thing to play the same ball for 18 holes?
Well, again, Al Geiberger played that same ball
that
for
was amazing,
for his 59.
I didn't think that would be a case for them.
Yeah, and those were balls that you know, weren't anywhere near the quality of what we got today, and the, you know, the ability to spin and distance and all the things that go along with it. You know, golf balls will last much longer than you would expect.
Yeah.
And you probably lose it before you wear it out.
Yeah. You've seen me play. Yes, that's very much the case. Also coming up in our next segment, Millard Reed is going to join us. And he's gone into a golf hall of fame, but this is a unique one. The United States Blind Golfers Association. Just hearing that, we're definitely going to have to talk to Millard Reed on how that's even possible for us that are more than capable and able of seeing. Yet he is legally blind, and he's in the Golf Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I was fascinated. I asked him what his best score was, and he said 104. I said, I play with guys every weekend that shoot that, and they're happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, this is a man that went through most of his life with his vision and lost some vision in one eye with macular degeneration and basically lost total vision in one eye, and he's got some peripheral vision around one eye, and so he's legally blind, but basically he says, you know, in order for me to hit the ball, I have to look about 4 feet to the right of where it is, because he's only seeing out of the, you know, the periphery circle around his eye. But, you know, he'll tell us, you know, how the blind golfers actually do it. This he talks about a friend in Memphis that regularly shoots in the 90s, but it's a matter of, you know, you're allowed to have somebody aim you and, you know, and then get out of your way. I asked him about balance. It's fascinating. You know, he said we use the golf club like you use a white tip or a red tip cane, you know, to help you balance. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to Millard.
Yeah, he's going to be joining us here in just a few moments. That's quite a story. We look forward to his perspective on that one. For sure. So we got a jam-packed show again. Millard Reed, Ken Morton Jr., and Paul Henderson for Wild Hawk all joining us today.
We have a brand new sponsor.
We like that.
Yeah, PRG Americas, and they are a golf accessory company, and they really do quality stuff. And so when you're in the market for high-quality custom golf accessories, you need to visit them at prg-golf.com. This company was founded in Northern Ireland, and PRG has grown from humble beginnings to become the top brand in custom golf accessories for more than 70 out of the top 100 golf courses in the world. How about that? They're the official head cover company for the Ryder Cup teams, and they offer original designs as well as Arnold Palmer, Folds of Honor, and collegiate licensed product designs. You can purchase directly from them, and you can certainly go through your local pro shop and get, you know, things for tournaments as well. But if you're looking to talk to them, it's at prg-golf.com, and we welcome them to the Golf to Go radio show.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. Well, we look forward to them. Thank them for being a part of the show. We are back with much more, including Millard Reed will join us when we come back here on the Golf to Go Golf Hour on Sports 1140 KHDK.
This is Sports 1140 KHDK.
All right, we're back here on Golf to Go's Golf Hour. He's Frank LaRosa. I'm Jason Ross. Frank, I'm really excited to talk to our next guest, Millard Reed. What a story.
You know, Jason, as I mentioned earlier, Millard had his sight most of his life and lost some vision due to macular degeneration and ultimately lost vision totally in one eye and has just sort of peripheral vision. With macular, the wet type, you lose the center vision in your eye. You know, think about that. And so what he sees is out of the, you know, the edge of his eye. And so he is, I guess you would say, legally blind, but not totally blind, which means he can't drive or, you know, any of that. But it's an interesting story. He said, you know, most of his life had been, you know, books on tape. And he ran into a friend and, you know, they said, well, let's start playing golf. And he had played a little bit, played at the game, I guess, as a younger man. So, you know, he's playing well enough to have gotten into the United States Blind Golfers Association.
Yeah, and the Hall of Fame there. It's absolutely amazing. So he is our next guest here. We bring him on. Millard Reed, how are you?
Yes, I'm great, thank you.
Nice to talk to you again, Millard.
Hi, it's Frank. Good to hear from you.
So you played golf a little bit as a youngster, but as you said, you kind of played at it. It wasn't your sport of choice, you know, later on in your life, as you, you know, come to grips with a loss in your eyesight, you ran into a friend and you started playing golf together.
That's right. Well, and first, our Nevada Blind Services had an adaptive sports trainer. And he is the one that actually got me into the game. And then my friend, we pushed that a lot further and more often and ended up playing competitively.
So the question obviously on everybody's mind, Millard, is how does someone that can't see play golf? And you were telling me, I guess I'm going to ask you two questions here. You were telling me that there's two rules that are different from regular USGA golf rules for the Blind Golf Association, and then you were telling me how a coach helps you set up to hit a shot.
Yes. First, the two rules. The first rule is that the coach or caddy, as you, if you were playing regular golf, can stand behind you and guide you, give you directions, and even help you make club selections and talk you through a shot, line you up. And he can also hold the club in place, and then you can position your stance in addressing the ball. He is actually holding the club, addressing the ball, and then you provide your stance to hold on to the handle. And from there on in, you're the golfer and you hit the ball. Mm.
Millard, what do you find for you personally is the biggest challenge of the game?
Right now, my age.
That's all of us, right?
Yes. But the biggest challenge is I think, mental in approaching any sport, is being prepared for it, getting ready for it, and getting over the butterflies. And my first tournament, I played the worst golf that I ever played in my whole life, just from the nerve factor. Mm. And, well, I'll tell you, I shot in the 140s, 140. And then the tournament after that, the next year in Columbus, Georgia, I was the most improved player, and I shot at like 110. Mm.
That's a remarkable
yes.
change there.
Yes.
You said your best score was 104? Was that it?
Yes. Actually, Frank, I got to thinking about that, I'm pretty sure that I did shoot a flat 100 one time.
Wow.
And Jay was just had his fingers crossed because I was putting on the last one. This was in Tampa, Florida, some years ago. And he was hoping that I would make the chip shot in on the green and just do a two-putt. And I would have shot a 98. As mm-hmm. it turned out, I shot a flat 100 or 101.
Millard, I can't tell you how much ammunition that's going to give me on the golf course when I get out with some of my friends that can't break 100. So congratulations to you.
Well, it's perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about the Blind Golf Association.
Yes. It was formed many years ago by a couple of veterans returning from World War II. And they were blinded through their war efforts or military efforts. And they were golfers, I presume, before. I wasn't with them then, although I'm close to that age. But they got together and they started playing golf. And the organization came out of that from those two guys in the Los Angeles area getting together playing golf.
And how often do you get to play now, or in tournaments, or how often do you get to play?
Okay, there are the USBGA has the national championships every year, and there are currently, I think, two regional tournaments that are going on, and that is going to be up to probably three or four regional tournaments. And by the way, since you mentioned that, the next U.S. Blind Golf Championships will be held in Sacramento in 2022.
Oh, wow.
I don't know the course. There's a local resident from that area, Bob Banks, part of the USBGA membership, and he is the organizer for that.
And will you play in that, Millard?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought this was going to be my last year until I found out it was going to be next door.
No, so. I think we have a date next year.
That's
I think
right.
we'll have to do our show as a remote that day from the golf tournament.
You know, I think that would be super, because any good publicity that we can get encourages other players to get out and play golf or to let people know that they can also play golf. And here's a good point for me to bring up now is that the USBGA also provides clinics for blind children to introduce them to the game of golf through the pitch, putt, and drive process, protocol, where they get them, they've never held on to a golf club or even seen a golf ball, for that matter. And this goes on three or four times a year with all over the country.
I think the notion that, we look at people sometimes with a disability and think, my gosh, you know, I'd never be able to do that. And when you hear stories about, of course you can do it, and, you know, we do it all the time. And the notion of mastering a game that on the face of it seems so difficult, maybe some of those mental issues that you know, we as golfers face every day, you know, those are not the things that are going through your mind. You know, maybe that helps you play better.
Yes, that's true. And I think once you realize, when I lost my eyesight, I've always had a more positive attitude. If a door closes, another one has to open. And then you go to that open door and explore what's on the other side.
Well said. I know, to me, Frank and I talk a lot about the feel of the game, Miller. Can you really tell? Can you just feel it when you've hit the shot you wanted?
Yes. I can feel it. And sometimes I even see the ball fly for about maybe 10 or 15 yards if I happen to not be looking in the right direction. Like I told Frank the other day, in order for me to see the ball, I can't look at it.
Yeah, you said you had to look.
I had to. Yeah, I have to. Well, like on the green when I'm putting, to see the hole, I have to look three or four feet to the right of it looking at the ball on the tee is the same way. I have to turn my head in order to see the ball. But to hold the correct position, you look at the ball, get set up and everything, and then when you make your swing, you aren't looking at the ball.
Now, you mentioned in tournaments, too, and it's probably good to bring up, that there are different degrees of vision loss, and so there are three different categories that you can play in. You're legally blind up to totally blind, so that, you know, you're playing against people that have the same issues as you do.
Yes, yeah, we're in three categories, and I'm what is a B3, legally blind. In fact, you cannot belong to the organization unless you are legally blind or worse. Being totally blind. And I'm a B3, which is vision acuity of 2200 to 2600. And a B2 is 2600 to 21,000. And then B1 is totally blind.
So that didn't stop you from getting inducted into the U.S. Blind Golfers Association Hall of Fame. How about that? How'd that feel?
I was able to win quite a few tournaments in my categories of impaired vision and also in the Stableford scoring system. When I got older, I decided that I would no longer play stroke play, but I did win a couple of net scores tournaments nationally. My last national winning was in Las Vegas in 2019, where I won the overall Stableford.
That's great.
Against all players.
Congratulations. And I know you've also been asked to speak to some of the folks at PGA Hope and explain your story and kind of give them some words to hold on to.
Oh, yes, yeah. In fact, that's an organization that I'm becoming a little more active with. We're meeting now during the winter. We don't have as good a golfing weather as you do in Sacramento area, but, of course, you have the tule fog to deal with down there, and we have the snow to deal with up here. But Project Hope is out for veterans to help them get back into the game and for them to know that they can play golf, whether it's PTSD or vision. In fact, I met a new golfer who had just started in the HOPE program here in Reno, and he asked me a ton of questions the other day while we were at breakfast, and he's very excited about getting into it, and he didn't really have any direction or point in his life anymore with him losing his vision, and then he found out that he could hit a golf ball.
Miller, I'm sure you're an inspiration to him and to so many of our listeners as well. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being with us today, and I look forward to meeting you next year at the tournament here in Sacramento.
Yes, well, I will be contacting Mr. Banks and letting him know what are your call letters.
Sports to game,
yeah. Sports 1140.
Sports 1140.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, Millard. Thanks so much.
You bet. You're quite welcome, and I hope to see you guys.
Look forward to it.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Millard. We appreciate that. What a story.
Yeah.
I mean, it's inspiring in many ways, but also just the stuff that we allow to get in our way in the game, that there's other obstacles that he has to go through, and yet here he is. 100? Come on. How's he doing that?
Yeah, and you know, and we use the word inspiring, and to him, he's just out playing golf.
Yeah. It's like, I'm doing what I – and I'm glad he's still playing. He's like, his biggest issue is his age.
Yep.
not his visual challenges. So good for him. That was Millard Reed. Hopefully you enjoyed that. We've got more to get to when Frank and I come back. Ken Morton Jr., Director of Retail from Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop. We're going to talk more about the Golf Digest Hot List and that panel that he was a part of and all the stuff that is new and coming our way. We'll learn more about that with Ken Morton Jr. when we come back here on KHDK.
This is Sports 1140 KHDK.
Back here on the Golf to Go Golf Hour, Frank LaRosa, Jason Ross here with you each and every week. As you said, what do we need this? An hour and six, if not more?
I think so, yeah.
Just kind of gives us a little extra time just because, you know, we got lots to get to, including our next guest, who's hopefully got a lot of goodies for us to talk about. Ken Morton Jr., a friend of the show. We love talking with Ken as, of course, director of retail from Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop. But part of that fun panel, the Golf Digest Hot List panel, let's get some more info on that. Ken, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you.
And I want you to know, Kenny, that I know, even though Jason said, you know, it was a fun panel, I know you were working the entire time you were there.
He's rolling his eyes while he said that.
If you see me hit a golf ball, you know it's actually a lot of work. So, yeah, moving all the parts these days. But, yeah, no, it's a wild few days.
How many years you've been on that panel?
Going on 15, 16 years probably.
Yeah, that's remarkable. So,
yeah, the hot list, it's, I think, 20 years old, I think, this year.
Okay, give us a brief explanation of what the hot list is and what it covers.
Yeah, so Golf Digest is obviously the preeminent golf publication in all of our sport. And in the January issue each year, they review over 1,800 different golf club models and try to rank them on gold medal winners, silver medal winners, and bronze winners in each one of the different product categories. So that includes drivers, fairways, hybrids, and then the irons are broken up into four categories. There's players, players distance, game improvement, and super game improvement, and then putters and wedges. And so over the course of a year, they gather up every model you've ever heard of or not heard of worldwide and run it through this gamut of tests. And then this last week, I have an opportunity to they spend 3 days with these super brainiac, they call them the eggheads. They're it's like the director of space engineering from Quebec University and Dick Ruggie, who was the USGA technical advisor. And they decide whether or not the claims that this particular vendor are making are valid or are hogwash. And then they have a panel of retailers like us. We come in and talk about what we think is going to be selling best and is going to be the most in-demand type products. And then the hard part really is the hitting all of the golf clubs. They have a panel of 25 golfers of varying handicaps, and they actually hit all of the narrowed down golf clubs. It's probably 200 to 250 golf clubs that they have to put through its paces over 5 days. And those poor guys just have to be marshmallows when they're all done.
You know, that is a massive feat to undertake. I remember, it must be about 10 years ago, you held your own kind of local Hagen Oaks hot list. And I remember members of the media were invited out. And it was the same thing. It was irons, fairway woods, and drivers. And, boy, once you got past drivers, I don't think anybody wanted to hit golf balls anymore.
Yeah, luckily for the retailers, we get to hit what we want to hit. And a lot of it we've seen or had a chance to hit in our own stores. But those guys that are swinging, I mean, they literally probably put 10,000 swings on their golf club over the course of their 5 days.
So in the years you've done this, Ken, I'm thinking about, as you said, you've done it for almost all the 20 that's been around. How many times, with so much innovation going on every year, have you left saying, wow, you've got to see this product, like just blown away by something?
More times than not. The reality is that there's people way smarter than me engineering these golf clubs and thinking about it differently each time. And things, most recently, like with Callaway, with them, with their jailbreak technology, which was a way to connect the crown and the sole of the golf club in a wood so that they didn't move when you hit them. And it transferred a lot more energy back into the ball. The ball speed went up a lot with that technology in it. And, with putters, with the advent of, big oversized putters that look like, small shovels down there. But the moment of inertia is way higher than, the traditional, like mini golf putters, when you think like a blade type putter that we've been using over the years. And you can literally hit it anywhere on the face and it's going to roll the same distance as if you hit it in the middle on some of these new putters. And that certainly wasn't the case. And they're getting more creative and having to move weight around and all that stuff. And the leaps and bounds they make each year are fairly profound.
I know you're probably sworn to secrecy in terms of letting us in on what we might expect, but was one category any better than another this year? I mean, were we going to have great irons this year, or fairway woods are off the charts, or anything like that happen?
So there is a driver, and yes, I am sworn to secrecy with a non-disclosure agreement that is a brand new way of making woods. And I can tell you that to a person with the scientists and to a person with the retailers and the early feedback we got from the players, it was off the charts. And it will be very easy to see in early January when it unveils on why it's so different. But it is a completely new way of constructing metal woods that has never, ever been done before. And so it's something very exciting to look forward to. Beyond that, I think everything else was kind of some refinements. Products are certainly better. I will say in the iron category, the foam-filled, hollow-bodied irons are really, really easy to hit, and they're making significant gains in distance with those, and nearly every vendor has a version of that now. So as that has become more widespread, it's made a longer hitting iron for sure.
Isn't it remarkable with all the design teams and the types of folks that you mentioned that are there that these companies can continue to improve? What you're talking about, a brand new way. I mean, who would have thought that there's another way to do it?
Right. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you'd look back over golf's history from wood shafts to wood heads to stainless to titanium, and now, with all of the vendors using carbon, and, we're going to continue to see experimental with metal matrices and additional carbon uses. Heck, with Cobra's most recent putter line, the putters are 3D printed, and I really think that's a big direction on where golf is going to go down the road, is we're actually going to be 3D printing golf clubs because you can literally in any shape or design. If Frank, you needed more moment of inertia than I did and it more upright than I, they'd literally print and make the golf clubs in whatever specs you wanted. That's not far out there to have happening.
It sounds like a movie. Like, that doesn't even sound real.
It does, right? I mean, it's bizarre, but nowadays, I mean, you can print with metal, with, like, on this Cobra putter, they have a lattice work that's in the back of the putter, and it's all 3D printed. And as printing with metal becomes easier and comes down in price, we're going to see lots more of it.
You know, Jason was asking me a minute ago, and you're probably better to answer the question, but it was, and maybe you've already answered part of it, but it was, you know, how often should we be looking at new clubs or new drivers or something like that? And I guess part of the answer is, you know, how much of the new technology do you want to take advantage of?
Yeah, I think, you know, with Metalwoods, I think the technology is coming out a little bit more fast and furious than irons. I think right now every 3 to 5 years is kind of the average people are replacing irons. Where people should probably be replacing their clubs more is probably with wedges. In some of the testing that Titleist and Cleveland, which are the kind of the two key wedge vendors out there, they are noticing that after about 50 to 100 rounds, the face gets dull enough to where there's tons of spin decay, meaning that you might have, six or 7,500 RPMs coming off the face when you first buy your wedge. By 50 or 100 rounds, that might dip by 30 or 40%. And so the spin that you're hitting into the green is dramatically different than when you first bought the wedge. And that's just from the wear and a sit and shots out of the sand traps and all that kind of stuff. And so, if you're trying to play your sharpest, if you're trying to play your best golf, a more frequent wedge replacement's probably in order.
With the issues we've had with delivery with almost anything because of shipping these days, when can we expect to see new product, and how long will it be coming in over the course of the new year?
Yeah, so I think the first big major vendor delivery is going to be right around the 14th of January, and I think you're going to see them kind of every week between there and about April 1st. Most of the time, most all of them are late January and early February, but due to a lot of these challenges, there's a worldwide shaft shortage going on that's significant, and it's causing, especially with irons right now, a lot of delays. And so a lot of these vendors might normally be shipping, 1st of February. They're all kind of hedging their bets a little bit and are planning a little bit later spring deliveries.
The great thing about Hagen Oaks as well is when all that product is in, you have a policy of allowing people to take those clubs out on the driving range and try them.
Yeah, it's a fairly unique experience for us. We have one demo golf club of every flex and every loft of every golf club we carry. So, and you can go try it free of charge on the range. And now with the Top Tracer out there, that's made a whole another level of experience trying out golf clubs, because now you have launch monitor technology out there to see exactly how far you're hitting it, what the trajectory is, how far it's flying in the air. And you can kind of, we still offer our normal custom fitting that we do with our TrackMans, but in some real basic levels through the Top Tracer, you can actually gauge yourself and really compare it against your own woods and see if it's going that much further.
Exciting year for golf. Kenny, what excites you for 2022? What gets your juices going right now?
This new mystery wood that I can't tell you about is certainly going to set the world on fire. It's a major manufacturer, and it's going to be it's really going to be interesting. Fitting is still where we see the biggest leaps and bounds with golfers. We can take a golf club that's 4 or 5 years old and make it perform way better just simply by making sure that it's the proper length and lie and weight and grip size and all that kind of stuff. The And so many golfers think they're not good enough for fittings, and that the exact opposite is true. You know, you put Dustin Johnson, you give him a junior golf club, and he, within a couple swings, he's going to still hit at 300 yards. A new golfer will forever fight their equipment if they are ill-fitted right out of the gate, and will develop swing flaws because of that ill-fitted equipment. We can make your advancement in your gains in the enjoyment of the game so much better with properly fitted equipment. And that's really over the last 10 years where all the equipment vendors really have shined.
Well, I'm showing up around January 14th to find this mystery club to see what it's got.
You better get in line. It's going to be a long one, I think, pal.
All right.
Thanks much, Kenny. Appreciate your expertise and your experience.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. That's exciting.
Yeah.
If he's going raving that much about it.
Well, this is a man that spent his whole life in the golf world, mm-hmm. and orders all the golf clubs every year. And for him to be that excited, my mind was going crazy trying to figure out, I wonder what manufacturer it is.
Yeah. And I guess we'll know soon. Yeah, we look forward to that. All right, final segment coming up here of the Golf to Go Golf Hour. Paul Henderson, GM at Wild Hawk, will join us when we come back here on KHDK.
This is Sports 1140 KHDK.
All right, final segment here of the Golf to Go Golf Hour. He's Frank LaRosa. I'm Jason Ross. Thank you so much for everyone checking us out. Again, every time the show is complete, we put it up on KHDK.com, podcast if you miss it, so you can listen to it anytime, including trying to figure out, crack the code, what is this mysterious driver that's coming out, Frank?
You know, I think this show today, too, is kind of an indication of kind of the growth in the game. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, there's so many elements that we don't even think about. I mean, it never would have occurred to me that there was a U.S. Blind Golfers Association,
right.
and a Hall of Fame as well. And, yeah. you know, Millard was really cool. And then you get somebody like Ken Morton that's, you know, his entire life has been in golf. And, you know, he has this experience, and he's excited about something new
yeah.
next year.
That's exciting in itself.
Stokes the fires. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, hopefully another one to get you excited is another great course in our area, and it's Wild Hawk. And Paul Henderson, the general manager of the Wild Hawk Golf Club, is joining us now. Paul, how are you?
Hello, great. Doing fine. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
You know, Paul, we used to bump into each other at Bel Air. I don't know whether the pandemic has kept us from eating or shopping or what, but we haven't seen you in a while.
Well, I'm not sure, Frank, because, you know, we have to wear masks in there, so maybe I don't see it because we both have masks on.
Maybe we have seen each other.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, first of all, before we go much farther, congratulations on your award as the Public Merchandiser of the Year for the Northern California PGA.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. And I saw the award list, and I see your name's on there, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, your award still means a lot, even though I'm there, though.
Okay. Well, yeah, thanks, Frank. Appreciate that.
You've been there, what, 12 years now, 10 years?
I've been here about 13 years now.
13?
Yeah, going on 13-plus
okay.
years.
So you've made some changes over the course of that time, and you've kind of settled into a nice little rhythm over there.
Yeah. Well, the golf course, when I first got here years ago, the golf course was designed with a lot of rough on it. It gave it a lot more character. It was, 2 to 4 inch high rough, and the golf course pace of play was, 5 hours plus. Mm. And so our clientele was mostly senior golfers at that time, and senior golfers are our biggest, clientele here. And so we took out a lot of the rough that was, gave the golf course a lot of character, but it really, made rounds go 5 hours or longer. And then we cut the rough down to, 2 inches so people could find the golf balls. So that was the biggest change on the golf course is just, taking a lot of the rough out so the golf course would play, at a decent pace of play.
Every golf course has a challenge, and you've certainly got some holes and some water and some things that kind of keep your mind occupied. But it's an enjoyable golf course. Every hole is a little bit interesting, but there isn't any sort of pressure that's going to make you go nuts about where you're going to hit this tee shot.
Frank, I always get the comment from golfers when they play here that they play the best round of golf here. or they have their, you know, lowest score they've ever shot here. So people do like it because it has character. Like you say, it has some water holes, but it is really playable from the white tees and the blue tees. And golfers do play well here when they play here. And a lot of them have told me over the years and recently they have the best rounds here usually. So that's always good to hear that.
Yeah, it's great to hear.
Yeah, I've played there quite a bit, Paul, and I think that it is golfer friendly. And, you know, if you spray it a little bit, you might be in another fairway, but you're not in you're not major trouble.
Yes, yeah, so some courses here, many courses, every hole could be a bogey or a double bogey because of, you know, a lot of trees or a lot of areas where you can't find your golf ball. Here, you know, you can recover from your errant drives pretty easily and still, you know, have a good score, you know, with up and down.
Now, it's the Southgate Park District, correct?
Yeah, so it's owned by Southgate Recreation Park District, and they built it in 1998. So, it, of course, is 23 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that makes me a little older, Frank, you know. Get that old, yeah.
So let's let people make sure they know exactly where Wild Hawk is.
Yeah, so Wild Hawk is in what's called the South Area in, you know, in the county. It is located really on the Elk Grove border, which is Calvine Road. So it is really 5 miles east of south of Highway 50, and then 5 miles from Highway 99. So we're really on what's called the South Area, right on the Elk Grove border.
And you certainly have all the amenities that all the other golf courses do in terms of a nice driving range and food and beverage and lessons and things like that. Tell us a little bit about those features, Paul.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we have a beautiful driving range. It is in a great location for a range. It's one of the few ranges that has shade in the afternoon from the summer sun. So we're actually very busy here in the afternoons on the driving range. It's one of our biggest assets here as far as, the practice center goes. We have a great food and beverage called the Wild Hawk Grill. We have a capital improvement plan in the springtime to redo, enlarge, and level most of our tee boxes, which is where we get a lot of our customer comments regarding the course playability as our tee boxes are too small, a little uneven. So we're doing a capital improvement on the tee boxes next springtime, and we're going to be enlarging our driving range tee to allow us for some more hitting areas later on this month. So those are two big improvements we're looking forward to, doing here at Wild Hawk.
Paul, I want to ask you about a specific hole as someone who's played there a lot, is 16. Tell you, honestly, I always play one nice and safe, get it right there in the middle, not to worry about it. But then I usually go for one, and I never make it. I always spill it into the water. How many people clear that and make that on 16?
You know, if you play for that from the blue tees, it is that 250-yard, direct carry. So it is doable from the blue tees.
Not for me.
from the gold tees, not so much. But a lot of golfers from the white tees and the blue tees try to go with the water. It's kind of a narrow green, so it's hard to keep the ball on the green if you do go over the water. But it's one of the holes that makes it fun here because you can try and drive number 16, which makes for a fun end, end to your round.
You know, I had to think a little bit about what 16 was while you were talking about it, and I'm thinking I haven't had a problem with that hole.
You reaching the green, Frank?
Well, I'm not reaching the green with a tee shot, but yeah. I'm hitting that second shot long.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'd rather be on the back side of that than the front side,
for
right?
Sure.
Yeah. Paul, as I mentioned, you won the award for the Public Merchandiser of the Year. Tell us a little about your shop and your philosophy there.
Well, merchandising is I think most golf pros and managers like to merchandise, but it takes up a lot of time. You have to, meet the sales rep. You have to follow all the trends in the industry and, do your research. So it takes up a lot of time of your head pro and myself, but kind of feel like the pro shop is kind of your living room of your golf course. It's the thing that golfers see first when they come in the building. So we try and keep a golf shop, you know, that has nice displays that are changed frequently, have product that is, you know, fresh and current, that the golfers see on the ads or see on TV or see on the phones when they check out their, you know, apps and things. So, you know, the pro shop is what golfers see first when they, you know, come to a golf course. So we try and keep it, you know, fresh and exciting for the golfer when he comes with, you know, new apparel and the latest putters or balls or clubs that you see that they see and want to try out.
Well, the fact that I had to think about what 16 was means that I haven't been there in a long time. So I'm going to have to come see you, Paul. But tell people how they can make a tee time and get to your website.
Sure. So the best way to do it is online is through our website, wildhawkgolf.com. That's a free booking online. We don't charge a fee to book online. You can download our app. Just down to the App Store through the Android App Store. Download our Wild Hawk app, and you can book it on the app also free of charge at wildhawkgolf.com. So most of the rounds are booked online these days, and through those two venues right there.
Paul, we appreciate your time. We wish you continued success at Wild Hawk, and I'll see you in Bel Air.
thank you, Frank. I'll see you in Bel Air too.
All right,
okay.
Take care,
Paul.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good man.
Yes, and a good course, good track out there.
Yeah. 16. We'll have to go play that.
Yes,
together.
We will. We will, and I'll spill one into the water
we'll
for
see.
Sure.
another great hour, and again, our greetings and welcome to PRG Americas for. For signing on as a sponsor. Again, when you're in the market for high-quality custom golf accessories, you need to visit prg-golf.com. Again, this company was founded in Northern Ireland. PRG has grown from their humble beginnings there to become the top brand in custom golf accessories for more than 70 of the top 100 golf courses in the world. It's the official head cover company of the Ryder Cup teams. PRG offers original designs as well as Arnold Palmer, Folds of Honor, and collegiate licensed product designs. And you can purchase directly for your individual use at prg-golf.com. We'll be hearing more about them over the next weeks.
Well, that's awesome. Another one in the books.
Another one in the books.
Yes. Well, I hope golf treats you well this week. I'm excited what Miller told us, certainly what Ken told us, more about Wild Hawk. This was a good show.
And we'll do another one next week.
Let's do it next Wednesday. Frank, we'll see you then.
Jason, be well.
All right, that's it for us. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Golf to Go Golf Hour here on Sports 1140 KHDK.